9/11, how much did you know about the Muslim faith? Very much at all? Most of us, not much. We had not much to do with them. But we've learned a lot of new vocabulary since 2011, or 2001. We've learned about Islam. We've learned about Muhammad. We've learned about Allah and Jihad and Taliban and Al-Qaeda, all new to us since 9/11. Most people don't even know that we already had an Islamic war in the United States in 1803 under Thomas Jefferson. We had quite a battle with the Muslim faith, and of course we won, but the Muslim faith believes in jihad, which is holy war, that they are going to conquer the world for Allah, their God. And so these wars are going to continue. There is never going to be peace in this world as long as anybody is following Allah's teachings taught by Muhammad. They are trying to win the world by the sword. It is not a deal that you spread it by word very much. It's mostly you conquer and you take over, and they have to follow. So the world's leaders since 9/11 have bent over backwards to say that Islam and terrorism are two different things. The Islamic faith is basically a peaceful, loving religion, and they're very similar to what Christianity is. Well, that's simply not true. There is a huge difference between the two, and we're going to talk about that. Salman Rushdie, some of you remember the man, he was sentenced to death by the Muslim clerics because of his 1988 book, The Satanic Verses. Very interesting that Rushdie said, the trouble with this disclaimer that there's a difference between Islam and terrorism, he wrote in his book that it's not true. There is no difference between Islam and terrorism. The Quran tells them, you talk to an infidel once, if they don't believe, you talk to them twice, if they don't believe, you kill them. That's in the Quran. And so it's just the way it's set up. In communicating on a recent terrorist attacks on the U.S., Franklin Graham, the one that we're preparing the shoeboxes and sending them out, his ministry, the son of evangelist Billy Graham, said, I don't believe this is a wonderful, peaceful religion. When you read the Quran and you read the verses from the Quran, it instructs the killing of the infidel for those that are non-Muslim. And so anybody that's not a practicing Muslim is an infidel, and the Quran tells them the way to win this thing is to kill you. He went on to say, this is again Franklin Graham, he said, it wasn't Methodists flying into those buildings. It wasn't Lutherans. It was an attack on the country by the people of the Islamic faith. In like fashion, some of you remember the name Chuck Colson. He commented, the truth is that bin Laden, now he's dead now, and his followers did not hijack Islam. They simply took it seriously. In other words, they're doing exactly what the Quran tells them to do. Holy jihad. Recently, one of the major denominations met in Columbus to debate, of all things, whether or not Jesus is the one true Savior of the world, or are there others that are Saviors? In other words, could the Islamic faith save a person if they followed the tenets? Could a Hindu have eternal life? And this is a major Christian denomination debating that. If you ask the average American today, just go down the street and just talk to people, what the difference is between the major world religions, most people would say there's not much difference. If you're sincere and you believe whatever you believe, they're all peace-loving, they all teach the same thing, my friends, that's not true. If you lived in Afghanistan, if you lived in Iraq, if you lived in Iran, you would know that's not true. People assume that all religions are similar because they've never done a study, a practical study of the different religions of the world. Christianity is the only religion that is spread by word of mouth and by loving others. The others are all spread a little different, and Islam is the most aggressive of all. They spread it by killing people that don't believe and taking control and demanding that you worship what they say is true. Tim? Yep.
Wasn't there like branches?
Yes. There are two main branches of Islam, and Farrakhan would be a cult off from those. Farrakhan is not either one of those. He's
had a show on him, and it was
yeah. Yes. Yes. Watching him is very interesting. One of the interesting thing is that the converts in the United States, 90% of all converts to Islam are of black race. So 90%. So Farrakhan has had quite an influence on the black community over the years. Not quite as much right now as he had back in the 80s and 90s, but still a lot of influence. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's still alive. Last I knew. I'll check on it. He might be dead. I don't know. I know somebody, not Farrakhan, but somebody else in the Islamic faith did get killed, but I can't remember his name now. Maybe. I don't know. Dave's checking. Oh, if he got in the movie, he's obvious.
Wow.
But he might have been. I don't know.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's made a big difference in the country. The truth is that every major religion contradicts every other major religion. Hindus teach something entirely different than the Muslim faith. The Muslim faith says there's one God and it's Allah. The Hindu religion teaches there's 10,000 plus gods and you can worship any one of them you want and you'll be just fine. Christianity says there's one God made up of three persons. Islam says there's one God, that's it. He's not dead, Dave? Okay. Yeah, I didn't think he had died, but...
Who was his...
Yeah, there was another guy that was competing with him, and he did get killed. Malcolm X, yes. Malcolm X got killed. Yeah.
Who was Farrakhan?
I don't know who got Farrakhan going. Yeah, I don't know. But when you look at all that stuff, the important thing to remember for us as Christians that every major religion contradicts every other major religion. They are not the same at all. George Barna does a great deal of research in religious circles, and in a survey he found an amazing fact. Most Americans, including many professing Christians, believe that people are inherently good. Now, the Bible would teach exactly the opposite. People are what? There's none good, no, not one. But across America, even many Christians believe that people are basically good, and as long as they try to do good, they're going to be just fine. No matter what religion you belong to, as long as you're trying to be a good person, you're going to make it. And so that's a major belief. He said 38% believe that it doesn't matter what religious faith you follow because they all teach the same lessons. And so 33%, a quarter or a third of this nation, believes that any faith can get you to heaven. 44% believe that all people will experience the same outcome after death regardless of their religious beliefs. So almost half believe that no matter what religious faith you have, as long as you have a faith, you're going to be just fine. 55%, so more than half, believe that if a person is generally good and does good enough things for others during their life, they earn a place in heaven. So over half the people in our nation believe that as long as you live a good life, you're going to be just fine. That's exactly what I believed before I got saved. But it's not true. Just because the majority believe it does not mean it's true. So anyone who claims that all religions are the same are basically ignorant of a study of the religions, the primary religions in this world. They're all very, very different. Rabbi Zachariah said, every religion at its core is exclusive. That means that every single one is different, and we have to know that. Many voices shouting at us from many different directions today. It's important to know something about each of these different groups so that you can do your research and decide Because you are, whether you know it or not, staking not just this life, but all eternity on what you believe. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And if you're going to stake your eternity on that, you better do some study and make sure that it's the real, true religion. Because just suppose the Muslims are right. What would that do if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Muslims are right that you have to earn your way to heaven? We'd be in real trouble. And so we really have to do our research. We have to look. I have read the Quran. I don't know how many others have, but I have read it. And it does indeed, several different places, tell them to kill any infidel. It's in there. So the people that are taking it literally are doing exactly what Muhammad said they ought to be doing. When they flew those airplanes into the World Trade Center, they were doing exactly what they should do. In fact, the only way in the Muslim faith you can be guaranteed of eternal life is if you die a martyr for Allah. There's no other way to know for sure you're going to have eternal life. And so they were doing what they had to do to know that they were going to be in the new Mecca or whatever. Bill Hybels, after interviewing people from different religions, said, you need to know that the law of non-contradiction says that positions that are different from one another cannot be equally true. You've got to figure out what you believe and where you're going to drive the stake in the ground and say, on the evidence of the research that I've done, this is what I believe. This is what I'll stake my life and my eternity on. Because really, that's what we've done as Christians. We said, I've done my research. I really believe the Bible is God's word. I really believe Jesus Christ is the only true Savior. And I'm staking my eternity on the fact that he died and paid for my sin. And so people really should do some research on that before they make a decision any direction. One of the professors at a seminary used to ask the students, after they had given a translation from Greek to English, he would say, are you willing to swing on a rope over hell on your translation? Are you sure it's right? In other words, we should really do some work and make sure that we believe with all our hearts that it's true. One of the things that is similar between the Christian faith, the Hindu faith, and the Muslim faith is that all three groups have very sincere believers. They're devout. Muslim men, many of them, I'm going to say probably almost the majority, have the entire Quran memorized by heart. I don't know too many Christians that have their Bible memorized by heart. And so they really do a lot of study. I don't know too many Christians that have five times every day that they pray. But Muslims do. They'll stop, and five times a day they pray because it's part of their salvation. I don't know too many Christians that fast one whole month every year from sundown till sun, or from sun up till sundown, they fast. So you got to eat before or after the sun's up and down. They are very, very devout. But salvation is something they earn, and that's why they're so devout. All that goes into them having a chance at eternal life. Nowhere in the Quran, except for being a martyr for your faith, does it say that you can know that you have eternal life. Tim?
When they pray, they first prayer like
I think they go over and over and over certain prayers, yeah. I think they do it by rote, and they have certain things they memorize, and they go over it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way they do it. Yeah, it's not a personal, because Allah is not a personal God. There's no place in the Quran that it says Allah loves the world or Allah loves people. It's just not there. There's no personal relationship of anybody with Allah. He's out there. Even when Muhammad interpreted the Quran, God didn't speak to Muhammad. They say the angel Gabriel spoke to Muhammad. Muhammad, because he was illiterate, he couldn't read or write, he would say what the angel said, and so the scribe would actually copy it down. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, though we or an angel bring you any other message than the one you've received, don't do it. So an angel, could a demon pretend to be Gabriel and you wouldn't know? That's exactly what I think happened there. Islam, like Judaism, traces its roots back to Abraham. The major difference between Islam and the Jewish faith, Judaism, is that Islam traces its roots back to Abraham's son, Ishmael. They believe Ishmael got the promises. They also, the Judaic faith, believes that the promise went to Isaac, like we believe. It was the son of promise that got the promise, not the son of the slave woman's son. The word Islam means submission, and it says much about the attitudes of the followers of Islam. No matter what the religious teachers teach, you just submit to it and you do it. You don't even think about it. Number two, it's a good thing to believe in God, but it's not enough. They do believe in a God. They do believe in one God. True Christian worship, the eternal self-existent God who spoke the world into being. Islam worships a God named Allah, who is not eternal and who did not create anything. No place in the Quran does it say that Allah ever created anything. He's just a God that they picked out of a multitude of gods, and they named him Allah, and away they went. The problem, even in this country, is there are some think that because they believe in the existence of God, that they're okay. I've heard a lot of people, when I was witnessed in the shop, say, well, I believe in God. Well, James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. And so just the belief that there is a God, regardless of what name you give that God, doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Acknowledging the existence of a God is a good thing, but not the right thing. Muslims believe that Allah is their God, little g. And the word Allah is derived from the Aramaic. It's A-L-I-L-A-H, which has become the general name for whatever God at the time that Muhammad was born, whatever God your particular tribe worshiped, that was Allah Lee. And it worked out that Muhammad thought that there's only one God, and that was the moon god. The moon god was worshiped by Muhammad's tribe, and that's why on their flags and stuff you'll see the crescent moon. That's their symbol, because he was the moon god. The moon god was central focus of prayer and worshipped at Kaaba. That was the area that Muhammad lived in. The moon god was worshipped by praying toward Mecca several times every day, and it still goes on to this day. The Arabs, long before Muhammad was born, had the five pillars of Islam that Muhammad taught. They've been doing that for generation after generation. We're not trying to appease an angry God as Christians. We're trying to learn how to love a very loving God. The Islamic faith is not like that. They have an angry God that they're trying to placate. There's not a single mention, as I mentioned earlier, about love of Allah for his people or for this world. There are many, many laws and strict warnings and penalties for not keeping all those laws, but the concept of having an intimate relationship with Allah is not taught any place in the Quran. Christians understand that Christianity is not about moral laws. It's about a living relationship with our God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Why did the Apostle Paul need a Savior? What was wrong with Paul's life that you can think of? What had he done wrong? He murdered Christians. He forced Christians to blaspheme the name of God. When a Christian would, to save their own life, say that Jesus Christ is not God, that was blasphemy, and the Apostle Paul forced many people to do that. He threw Christians in jail. So once the Apostle Paul realized who Jesus Christ was, he said, all my keeping of the law, I count as dung. Why? Because if you keep the whole law in every point and you fail in just one point, the law will condemn you. You're guilty of it all. And so the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to leave behind everything that I've ever trusted in, and I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. He drove his stake in the ground, and he said, this is what I'm staking my eternity on. And I think everybody in this room has done exactly the same thing. I'm not trusting anybody else or anything else. It's simply Christ's righteousness. It's a good thing to believe in Jesus, and the Muslims do believe in Jesus. But it won't be enough. Who do the Muslims say Jesus is? He's a prophet. But he's not God. He's just a prophet. He's a lesser prophet than Muhammad, but he's a greater prophet than some of the other prophets. So in John 14, verse 6, this is what Jesus said. This is the greatest tension between Christians and Muslims. Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. By saying you know him and you've seen him, who is Jesus saying that he is? He's saying that he's God. He's God come in the flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus Christ makes quite a claim here. The principle is repeated again in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And this is what makes the big rub between Christianity and the Muslim faith. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we are examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If that's true, and I believe with all my heart it is, then the Islamic faith is a lie. If that's true, and again I believe with all my heart it is, the Hindu faith is a lie. It's Satan's trap. And so many people right now today, there are over a billion and a half Muslims. How many is there that are believing a lie? Man, that's a lot of people. That's a 1,000 million plus 50 more, I think, million. I'll get it right. But it's a lot of people. Muslims are taught that it was Abraham who received the Kaaba stone. The Kaaba stone is a meteorite stone that's in the Kabbal. And he put it in Mecca, established Mecca as the center of religion. Muhammad received a series of revelations from Allah through the angel Gabriel. There was no direct connection between Muhammad and God himself. It was the angel Gabriel that he got the Quran from and the words that he quoted to another person who wrote them down. The Quran contains divine messages said to be given by the angel Gabriel to Muhammad, a self-proclaimed prophet who lived in the 7th century. There's no room for question or doubt in the Muslim faith. You must believe that Muhammad is Allah's prophet, the primary prophet. You must believe that Gabriel told him and he wrote it down. He got special permission from Allah through Gabriel to marry 13 wives. And his last wife that he married was 6 years old when they married, and he consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of man I want to follow. It's just not, that's not right. True Christianity is spread by love and choice. Islam is spread by the sword and by force. It's true that some Muslims, like Christians, are willing to die for their faith. But it's even more true that many Muslims are willing to kill for their faith. If you disagree with them and they have the power, they will take you out. And they won't think twice about it. We're very fortunate we live in the country we do, that we have freedom of religion. I'll just mention, when our soldiers went over to Afghanistan to fight for those people, whether you know it or not, we couldn't even give Bibles to our own soldiers that were in that country. They can come here and build mosques and pass out the Quran everywhere. It's fortunate for them that we have freedom of religion. If you went over there and were doing the things that they're doing here, you'd be put to death. You cannot do those things in their land. The U.S. policy of defending Israel is the major rub that Islamic people have with the United States of America. In their view, Israel is a usurper nation and they should be wiped out. We keep trying to make peace between the Muslim people and the Israelite people. There will be no peace between the two because there are two totally different groups and they both claim that the land is theirs. Jesus taught love for the sinner. Muhammad taught death to the infidel, and that's you and me. They do not plan to make peace. They do not plan to submit to anybody but Allah. And if you won't submit, if they had their way, you'd be dead, period. So whether you stop to realize it or not, America is at war. We're still at war. There will never be peace with Islam until, in their view, they control the whole world. And the whole world is Islamic. When they get enough power, they're going to attack. When they don't have enough power, they'll try to worm their way in and take over through whatever means they can. One of the saddest things about the Muslim system, like many others, they believe they will either make it to heaven or not based on either their good works or their martyrdom, one or the other. There is no savior. There is no knowing that you're going. The Muslims have no way of knowing until final judgment. And of course, that final judgment, it's what? Too late. If you didn't make it, you're not going to make it. We as Christians have some really good, good news. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, this is the verse 13 we're going to get to that really gave me the faith to believe. And immediately the man was made whole. Whoops, is 1 John 5, 9, Dave? No, it's 1 John. Did I get John? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we want 1 John 5, 9 through 13. There we go. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For it is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him out a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. When you study through your Bible, there's miracle after miracle before Jesus' birth, during Jesus' birth, during the time of the apostles. Anybody know how many miracles there are in the Quran? There are zero. No miracle. When you study the Bible, you see time after time of resurrection of the dead. When you study the Quran, you have none. When it comes to prophecy, the Bible is literally a quarter of prophecy, a quarter of your entire Bible. Anybody know how many prophecies the Quran has? One. That was given by Muhammad. He said he was going to go into Mecca and he was going to be accepted by the people. And he brought it to pass through lying to the people, and he attacked and he killed him. And he went into Mecca. That's the only prophecy there is. There's no proof that it was from the angel Gabriel. There's no proof of anything. The Bible proves itself over and over and over. And so I don't know about you, but I'm going to stake my eternity on the Word of God. I'm going with that. If the Muslims are right, then Jesus Christ was not right. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ is who he said he was. And he proved it through miracles. He proved it through prophecy. Tim? I'm trying to think what they did say about that. I think they have kind of a hell. I don't know if it's the same as... They believe we've got a perverted version. They do not believe Jesus Christ is God. They do not believe Jesus Christ is a Savior. And so we've got all that wrong. Yes. Yeah. They would not believe almost anything that we as Christians would believe. And that's why we've got the trouble we've got. And so, all right. Any other questions before we close? Tim? The draw to it for men, I can understand it for men. I cannot understand any draw at all for women. But for men, if you do make it to eternal life, you're going to have a harem of all these beautiful women that are going to love you forever and all that. So I can kind of understand why a guy might get involved. But for a woman, I don't understand the draw. But a lot of, especially black women in our country, are going over to the Muslim faith. And a lot of the black men are going over to the Muslim faith. No. No, that's definitely not in the Muslim faith. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can know in the Muslim faith, too, if you're willing to be a martyr for the faith. But that's the only way you can know. And so if the Bible's true, and I believe with all my heart it is, then the Muslim faith is not true. The Hindu faith is not true. If the Bible's wrong, then, you know, either every religion is wrong, or there's just one that's right, because they're all different. And so we look at it and we say, okay, Muhammad having 13 wives and marrying a six-year-old. I don't think so. Getting his message from an angel, not from God. I don't think so. I'm not going to buy into that. Yeah, he got his message from an angel, yeah. And the Apostle Paul warned about that. Muhammad was seeking the Christian faith when he started his own religion, because the Christians wouldn't believe in Allah, and so he kind of left off following and learning about Christ and went all the way into the other religion that he started. So I'm not going to take just one man at his word. So, all right, we're going to sing in closing today.